Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook. We're going to be bridging wisdom tonight with Woohoo Matey. Matey Hewitt Lowry. Hey, Matey.
Hey there. Woohoo.
She's the godmother of my children. And also, we were waiting to get Michael Goger in, but something's up with his phone line. It's busy. So, Michael, if you're listening, call in, or either Don will call you in just a little bit. Hey, Matey, let's discuss dreams tonight, because I have just been dreaming up a storm.
Okay,
and you're so
great.
Good, you're so good at analyzing dreams too. You know that I don't know. I've been dreaming the same dream, like repeating it so that I can fix it. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does.
It's like they're getting more vivid. The dreams are getting more vivid, and I always, not always, because only always is God, but I get these messages through each one, and I have to sit up on the side of the bed sometimes in the middle of the night just to grasp what I dreamed. I know that the brain farts a lot, so I've been told, but I wondered what your intake and how did you get started into dreams? Let me ask you that, because you love to analyze dreams.
Yes, I do. I don't know. When I was a teenager, I just remember having all these dreams, and it was like, wow. I didn't really realize that a lot of people don't remember their dreams. So I started writing them down, and it was just so intriguing because I heard dreams come true, you know, in the spiritual and the natural. And so I started writing them down, and then it would be like I would go back through them, and I would realize things happened. You know, I would like look back and I was like, oh my stars, this actually happened. I mean, really almost realized what it meant. And what it is, it's God speaking to you and telling you in advance, you know, the future or what could be happening. It could be telling you something good. It could be warning, a dream of warning you. So that's how I got started in my teens. And then I just recorded them years and years, and then right after I got married, I stopped recording them, which was ridiculous. I don't know why I did that, but I just stopped. And then years later, I said, you know what? I need to start recording my dreams again. So it's just been really fun, you know, to go back and try to analyze them. And also, it's just first thing, I wake up in the morning, that's one of the first things you do, because if you don't record your dreams, they'll just disappear. And you're just like, okay, I'll remember that. You always think, oh, I'll remember that. And then later in the day, if you didn't write them down, they actually do disappear. It's just such a neat thing. So for people that are listening that have lots of dreams, you know, it's neat to start a dream journal. And that's how I got started.
How did you learn what each one represented and meant? Because to me, I was thinking this today, like, you know, you can read different people's books and what symbolic meanings are with what, but, you know, like the Newport. Remember that dream with the Newport? I really did go on a Newport. I mean, I'm just on a different page in life and, you know, just a different ways and means of seeing and feeling things again. And it's almost like being born again and again and again and again, you know? And, that dream that we had that we analyzed back on it was the 25th of September when I was dreaming about that big eagle taking me over to, you know, that I flew up to see it, and it was pulling this big old raft, you know, and at the end of the dream, I'm going to not go into the dream again, but at the end of the dream, there was a pack of Newport cigarettes sitting on the chair, and you said, well, maybe you're going to a Newport, you know, and that's exactly what ended up happening. My whole life and meaning and understanding of things have just changed to a more in-depth feeling, you know, an in-depth perspective, you know. I'm looking at things and not taking them so for granted, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And another thing I never told you about with that raft meant, let's say if you were just dreaming of, like, floating down a river in a raft, when you dream of a raft, it's really like you're just aimlessly just drifting and just, you know, not having a direction. And in that dream with the eagle is one of is the mightiest bird. I mean, out of all the birds, the eagle is the grand eagle. And
Yeah, this was a white eagle with gold
over on the bird. So the neat thing was you had an eagle pulling you in a wrap, and that was pulling you towards a direction. You had a direction going in. So that was a neat aspect of that dream.
That is so amazing. I was going west. I know that. But I could turn my seat around and go east or west. But I'm never going straight into west. It's always north. It's always southeast or southwest. It's always got a little angle to it. I don't understand that, but it always does. But that's okay. You know, it's never straight, you know, straight direction. It's always a little curve to it. But maybe that's because, you know, we go in and out of the flow of things.
Yeah,
I know that. I've been looking at a lot. Excuse me?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm looking at a lot of cleaning things out of my closet in my heart, mind, spirit, and soul. You know, what as my son Jason, your godson, says, filed it, done that. That's already done. That's in the file system. You know, when I bring up a memory or something to him, because if we don't keep all those thoughts clear, then when we go to bed at night, I know that at night, if I go to bed and I say, I want to get an answer to something, I know that that answer is usually 99% there the first thing when I wake up in the morning. Because our mind likes to please us, and it likes to, you know, the subconscious mind works on the answer to things. I remember doing that in high school when we were doing tests. Coach Jones taught me that.
Wow. So repeat that, what you just said about Coach Jones.
Say I want to understand where maybe I lost something, or I want to figure out where I put my ring, you know, like my mother's ring. And so I'll go to bed, cleaned out my thoughts process, and that's the last thing I'll put on my mind. Whatever I put on my mind at the very last thought, and meditate or dwell on that, then the first thing in the morning, you got to really catch it because it's real quick right when you wake up, but the answer's there. You know, your subconscious mind is unfolded. Right. It's unfolded the meaning to what you're looking for. Now, I remember when I was in school, Coach Jones taught me this too. He said, if you're going to have an exam, you know, your mind will hold five. Let's give an example of five, because five has changed to me. But five, if you study five, let's say definitions, five definitions, 5 minutes each, five times, you do that. Mm-hmm. And then, like, say, if you had, you could take four definitions for 4 minutes, four times. Or you could do three definitions, 3 minutes for three times. But that's all your mind can hold. You can't cram it. You can't do anything about it. That's all it can hold. You know, let's say if you got seven definitions that you're trying to memorize, then you have to do each of those 7 minutes seven times. Isn't that wild? And I went from a CD student to top of the class A because of some of the things that he taught me how to study. I'm bringing that up because when you want analogy, right? When you want to do a dream interpretation or a dream analogy, then I can program. I've learned to program my mind to dream a certain dream. And in my meditations, oh my gosh, I can go swimming. I can swim all the way across the ocean and back so fast. You know, and I remember you taught me how to try to do the butterfly, you know, swim, because you were on the swim team. I get down in there with the music on. I love to listen to BBS, New Kid on the Block, that 24-hour station. And I just get in there, matey. And I just swim and swim and swim, or I'll fly or do whatever. But I just let my human side get away from, you know, just totally dismiss it. And I can go all the way across the ocean so fast and back, all through the music, the rhythm of the music, you know. And that helps me in the mood to where when I can channel my dreams to what I need or where I want to go. That's basically what I was trying to get at. I'm just flabbergasted over the dreams, because you know what is it that people will often wonder and wrap their brain about, is that if we're in a dream state awake, or are we in a real dream state asleep, you know?
Well, about the swimming too, when you're swimming like that means that you're moving into spiritual gifts, and it's a prophetic utterance. So swimming really? Is very, yeah, because you're in that mode. So that's neat.
I mean, I have been for the past maybe month, just, I'm talking pouring sweat when I come out of it. Just, I have worked myself mm-hmm. into a, you know, like a exercise. And I'll just, wow. even though I'm sitting, but I'll just use my hands and go, and I do rhythmic breathing, breaststroke, butterfly stroke, and I even made up some kind of like a seahorse. But I just fall into the music, and I feel each note, each particular note is a you know, a breath or a movement with my hands, body, or whatever with the water. But the water, I realize, also is, that is relationships. Water is relationships, and it's also cleansing of oneself, and it's where we go in, you know, our water in our bodies. You know, we're made up mostly of water, and but relationships to me is what water is all about.
Yeah, and it's also a, like a move of the spirit. The Holy Spirit is nations of the world, and if you have a clear, like you know, well water could be like revival coming, a time of refreshing. Water is refreshing.
Uh-huh.
So, and, if you have a drink,
I guess you would. I'm sorry, matey. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, and then I was going to say, let's say if you dreamt of a water fountain, it's God's spirit welling up within man, salvation. Now, if you have stagnant or muddy water, then that's, you know, false doctrine or but that would be the muddy water. But I know you have the crystal clear water, because when you swim in the ocean, that's right. The ocean and blue and gorgeous. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I also can always, in my dreams, I can breathe. Even though I do the rhythmic breathing, I come up, but my breath doesn't seem to have to be held. But I know I'm shallow breathing, because anytime I go into meditations, it's almost as if I'm not even breathing from what I've been mm-hmm. told. You know, uh-huh. I shallow breathe so almost just out of my body. But I don't know if I'm wondering if we should start a session on how to get into that state of mind, because a lot of people I've heard a lot of people have a hard time meditating, but it's something that I've done since a little kid, you know, getting on Fair Lady, my horse, and just holding my arms out, and just, she never wore bridle or saddle, you know, and I just went with her and just flowed with her. I knew there was something out there other than us, you know, the mysterious, you know, connection with ourselves, higher than ourselves. And that brings me to that, what is it, Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that in school? How we, you know, it's like a little triangle, and our first one was to survival and clothing and food and water and shelter, but it was self-actualization. That is the top one, but we're always working towards that, because we tend to fall down as humans, you know, down that ladder again.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any certain books or dream interpretation books that you would offer the listening audience to find, or just any dream analogy book? Or I like to do my own analogies. You know, what do I see? Like, the other day, an opossum was up, a little baby opossum was in my house. It was weird. So Michael goes, what does that mean? And we found out it meant clever, and it meant, you know, they play possum, they play dead, and it was just a little baby about the size of my hand. So we looked at that, and, you know, to me, everything is a symbolic meaning. And
yes, you know, things in the natural do mean something in the spiritual. That is correct. That's great.
Yeah, if we go back to learning that was the first ways and means to communicate was symbols, you know, and many symbols. And
mm-hmm.
you got a little bit of feedback there, girl. I don't know. Are you?
Well, I'm on my cell phone. Does it sound like there's a feedback?
No, it just sounds like somebody in the background, but that's okay.
Okay, well, it's just me here and my kitty cat.
Let me ask you, when you started dreaming, because you basically got me started back in seventh, eighth grade to write my dreams down. You know, I was always dreaming them, but the dream journal, how would you suggest somebody could just get a little piece of paper and just jot down just descriptive adjectives of their dream, even, you know?
Yeah, I would get a spiral notebook, and then that way you can just keep it, because I have, like, like, if I don't have my spiral notebook, I'll put it on a piece of paper. And then, but also what's very important is to date your dream. The date has, you know, is very important. And I usually put, let's say, May 24th, 2011, and I might put beside it today is Tuesday. But it's just neat because then you, when you go back and read it, because if you don't date it, you're like, well, when did that happen? But it's neat to go back and say, oh, I did dream it this day. And also when you write it down, it's like you're almost reliving that dream, and it's so vivid. And a very important thing is to write down any colors and just anything and everything you see in your dream, because every little thing like colors mean things, different colors. And when I first started, I just wrote down my dreams, and then my girlfriend gave me a book on dreams and visions, and that really helped me to to kind of like figure out some of my dreams. And I would like underline like a automobile that is I underline that, and then I go into my little dream book and find out what it was, and then I make a brief description, and then I put what if I was driving to the airport or whatever, but anything that was in the dream. And then when I put each one down, or if I saw the color yellow, I put that down, then I could just kind of piece the whole thing together, and it kind of helps me to understand my dream. Yeah. But the dream symbol books really helped me, but also certain things mean certain things to you. So God would give me a dream and that pertains to me or something that happened. And then so that way he kind of relates the dream to each individual person, which is so cool. You know, he knows each and every one of us, so he can know exactly how to talk to us. But starting the little, the spiral notebook on your dreams, really would help. And then there's so many different dreams, books out there. So, I've seen a whole bunch of different authors. So, you know, just anybody that, you know, there's so many good ones, good books out there. They can go to a bookstore and they can, you know, ask the people there. Maybe they have a different, section for the dreams and visions book. That would help.
Well, what I know, colors are real strong in my dreams. And a lot of people only dream black and white, they thought, you know. Have you ever heard that?
Yes, I have. And it's... But yeah, but they're usually, I mean, you can dream lots of colors and vivid things. But, yeah, some people might just dream black and white when they're first getting to start their dream. But I think once they start writing their dreams down and as soon as they get up, they remember them, I think the colors and more detail will come because if they're not focusing on their dreams and what they dream, then they're not going to think anything of it. They're just going to get up and start their day but once they realize, wow, I had this dream, let me write this down. And if they do that every day, I don't have a dream every day. I mean, I know I get dreams every day, but sometimes I have to just really think, oh, I know I dreamed. Now, what was it? And I just concentrate, and sometimes the dreams
come. That's what I meant by brain farts, because that's what they told me at the Native American reservation. They said, sometimes your brain just will fart, you know, and just have junk. You know, just pieces that don't even connect. But a lot of times the dreams, have you ever noticed that they don't really tell a story? They kind of bounce through and they don't have a stream. They have pieces of different things during the day. But I do know that our subconscious mind is continuously trying to help us. And it will get us to stand on our head if it needs to try to figure something out. But, I know experiences are feelings, and we get to choose how we're going to experience certain things. But I, for the past week or two, just can't get enough sleep because I want to go back to the dreams I keep having, you know? And it's odd how you can't get your mind to go back to a dream. I don't understand that.
I think I have one time I had this was back when I was living at Hickory Hill, remember, Matthews? And I woke up and I had this wonderful dream, and the phone or something rang, and it woke me up, and I was like, I love that dream. I was into that dream, and I did go back to sleep, and I said, I'm going to finish this dream. And I think that's the one and only time that I remember that I actually was able to, that God completed that dream for me. Oh, it's amazing. But yeah, a lot of times we don't, because then we go back to sleep and dream something else. But I know I've had that one time in my life.
Why don't we invite the open the lines, and if anybody has any dreams that they would like analyzing, maybe you could help them through them, and I'll pick up if I.
Okay.
I'm not as good at, you know, we have different gifts, but you know, I can help as well. The call-in line numbers are on the front page of BBS Radio, and please call in on station 3. That would be a good station number to call. Station 3. I mean, call-in number 3. What is it called, Don? I don't know, but. Okay, matey, also I wanted to ask, you know who gave me my dream interpretation book was Jeff Gosnell. Jeff Gosnell.
Oh, wow. Bella.
Yeah, he gave me one. He lives in France now, so. The toll-free number for call-in is 888-815-9756. If you'd like to get a dream interpretation, matey, it's profound. She has always guided and directed my dreams. And helped me understand what, you know, the dreams are talking to me about. And it's just, it's amazing. Maddie, you're amazing, girl.
Ah, well, it's not me, it's God. You know, he gives me some words of wisdom. But what I was going to say is we can talk about some of the colors until we get a call.
Okay.
But I say if you dream white in a dream, that could mean purity, righteousness, innocence, the light, and the glory of God. And then yellow in a dream would be hope, fear, and also could mean your mind.
What is that
color? Orange could.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what's the color? Yellow.
I used orange as a boundary color. You know, like I needed to work on boundaries if I had an orange. That was just me, though, you know?
Yes, yes. And orange could mean danger. It could be, could be oranges, which could be joy. you know, it depends on what you're actually, you know, dreaming that you kind of have to figure out which way it's going. Is it, is this orange going towards a good color, or is it, maybe this is what I need to steer clear of. And then blue is, the color of the sky and the ocean is blue. And so, you know, blue has a different color than gold, you know, just depending on, you know, what you're dreaming. But if you're dreaming of black, it could mean lack, famine. It could mean darkness.
I know black is also a power nut color, too. You know, like it's
powerful power
because
it's
not really a color, is it?
Yes.
I mean, I've heard black was not really a color.
Oh, I didn't know. Maybe it's not.
My son Jason told me that. He said that black is do you remember when we used to color with different colors of crayons on a picture, and then we would color it black and then scratch through it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Black's not in the color of the rainbow, so maybe it's not, you know, because think of all the colors in the rainbow. I've just now thought about that. I've never seen black in a rainbow, have you?
We have to have the black shade to make the depth of field, you know. Black is a depth of field color. I love to dream. I dream about the ocean a lot. And I dream about the people being the little specks of the sand. You know, that's how many people are in the world. It's wild. But, animals.
God gave that to Abraham. He said, your descendants are going to be like the sands of the shore. So that's, whoa.
wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And at that time, he had been trying to have a family and nothing was happening.
Oh, I want to change the subject just a second. Did you know I really finally listened to Aunt Rusty, Frieda Lily Rose Ministries, prophecy conference, and she is talking about how to make one nation, and you were telling me about Abraham and how it split the nations when he had his maid servant gave him a son and then his son from his wife. But the Jews, you know, are, Jesus is a Jew. And the Christians worship the Jews, you know, Jesus. So they're trying to make a whole, you know, solid form with the Jesus or something like that. But I thought that was pretty interesting in her book.
Yeah.
Don't the Brinker.
I But also,
are you putting up groceries? What are you doing?
No, I'm sitting here. I don't know. What? There was an echo. Is there an echo?
Yeah, but it's okay.
You know what? I can take off my. I have my earpiece. I can take off my earpiece and go right to my cell phone. How about that? Okay,
I'm going to let you up. Huh?
I'm going to take my earpiece off and go straight to you. Call me back if I get disconnected, okay?
I will. I want to also talk about the reason and meaning that it's important to get enough sleep, because I was told that if you don't get enough sleep, you could starve your brain. Have you ever heard that, matey?
Okay, great. Thanks.
Matey?
Yes, I'm back. Okay.
Have you ever heard, my doctor told me that if I didn't get enough sleep, you could starve your brain. You know, it's just like food. You have to have the sleep in order to properly function during the day and not have, you know, weird dreams and all that stuff. If you work, you know, was it work hard, play hard, and rest hard, you know, intensely. So I know that in order to, what I want to help the active listening audience is how to program their minds to dream certain dreams, to be able to get their answers or maybe their calling that they're looking for, or, you know, what their mission here for life is. Or, and to me, dreams are probably the most profound way that our subconscious mind talks to us and helps us understand things. So if you could get, first of all, foremost, is get a dream journal and start writing them down, and maybe just looking up. To me, I would prefer to understand what a color means to me, or what the rain means to me, or what, because to me, if I do that, then it's not somebody else telling me what, you know, certain things and symbols and meanings are. And if I did that, like even with numbers, my numbers, when I play, I don't know, I love to take numbers apart and put them back together and see what they mean. You know, I've always done that with numbers, but I think that's because I always had a math tutor, you know, and going to school. I always had a math tutor because I could never do math well. And I believe now I just constantly am taking numbers apart, putting them back together, because that was something that was, I hated going to math tutoring, you know, but I don't dream often, numbers in my dreams, but I do find myself, I ask myself first, am I in the dream or am I watching myself dream? Because if I'm in the dream, I'm on a vision quest. I'm questing something. But if I'm watching myself dream, then it's, you know, no, if I'm watching myself dream, then I'm on a vision quest. If I am in my dream, it's a wish, want, or a desire that I'm trying to solve or understand.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good insight.
So give me one of your dreams. Let's take one of your dreams for an example of how you've written it down and how you've taken it apart and learned something from it. Maybe if we give an analogy like that, then it'll help people understand a little bit better too.
Okay. Well, one of my dreams recently, and I just have a problem sometimes with my left foot. Sometimes one of my toes just standing all day just kind of hurt. So the dream I got was I was barefooted, and I looked down at my feet, and I was trying to adjust that toe that sometimes hurts at the end of the day. And so I felt like that dream was meaning, well, when you're barefoot, that is when you're humbled before the presence of God, and your feet mean a spiritual walk and a heart attitude. So I felt like that I was I'm trying and I'm working on getting you know, in the presence of God and working out my spiritual walk, you know, like, okay, Lord, where am I going today? Or, you know, just getting a one-on-one time with the Lord. So I think that the Lord was showing me, yes, you are going towards that in that direction. That was just a short little quick dream, but that's what I got from that dream. I mean, it's short, but it's, hey.
Matey, I'm sorry. I want to talk about the dream that you had when you were going to Appalachian. Do you remember with that our friend John? And you kept dreaming that same dream over and over and over?
Refresh my memory, and then I'll bring which dream you're
it's
talking
the
about.
Photography, and then you kept dreaming that you were going to go in Europe and backpack, and that's exactly what you ended up doing.
Oh, yes, and at first I didn't understand it. I was like, why do I have this backpack, and why am I just walking around and seeing these different sites I've never seen before? And then I met this girl from Germany, and she talked about Europe, and I heard people were going backpacking, and I said, that's what I want to do. I was like, I just had my mind so focused on going backpacking, and I got the little Let's Go to Europe book, and then it didn't strike me until later. It was like, wow, I had dreamed that, you know, that I had already actually dreamed that, and I was actually following my dream that I dreamed, but I didn't even know it until later. Sometimes you'll dream something, and you won't even know until you're in, you know, you end up doing what you dreamt, if that makes any sense.
What do you feel deja vu is?
What do I feel deja vu over?
Yeah, like, you know how some people feel like they've done something before, or, gosh, this feels just like I've already, remember how we used to always go, deja vu, when we were growing up?
Yeah, yeah, and you know what it is? Yes, and the deja vu is you've already dreamed being in that place and that time. And then when that place and that time and you're actually there, that's the deja vu. It's like, I've been here before. Well, you have been there before the dream. And I was interpreting somebody's dream, or no, I was telling them about my dream. And I said, wow, I dreamt this. We were all together at the beach overlooking the sea, and we were eating with my friends that I had in the dream, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I dreamt this. And you know what this guy said? This guy said, well, you have been here. And I'm like, what is he talking about? Well, not only did I dream it, but God knows the beginning and the end. You've already, spiritually, you've already been in that place. You've already been in the future because your spirit and God has you in that place because he knows the beginning and the end. He knows the beginning and end of your time and where you're going. And so that's another deja vu. It's like, wow. When he said that, I was like, oh, wow, that is true. I have been here because God knows the beginning and the end. And our spirits and what he has said about our lives. So, you know, I formed you. I knew you before I formed the earth, and I knew where you'd be. And I know I have God knows the plans he has for you, says the Lord in Jeremiah. In chapter Jeremiah 29:11-13. So it's like, yes, we've already been exactly where we are and in the future. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
That's why a lot of people have always wondered what deja vu. What is a prophecy dream? Prophetic dream.
Okay. A prophecy. I'll just tell you first that, like, if somebody gives you a prophecy over you, and then what the prophetic dream would be. Prophetic dream would somebody be coming up to you and giving you good news of what is in your future. Maybe it's going to be a financial breakthrough. Let's say they say, I know you're going to have I just feel the Lord saying you're going to have a financial breakthrough. Well, you might even have dreams like that you're getting checks or money in the mail or somebody's handed you money. So that is through your dreams and this person giving you dreams from the Lord about this, well, then that means that it's going to happen. And the prophetic is the prophetic word, but also the prophecy of the word, and then having the dream, too, of money is also another sign of it all. That wraps it up together. And then, and you could get a check from, let's say somebody would send you a check that you've never gotten a check for your birthday, or just surprise you, or, I think of a blessing as if you go into a store and you buy something and you didn't know it was on sale and you get this big sale, you go into a store and you find something on sale that was reduced on clearance and you got $10 or more off than what you hadn't expected. So that is another way that you're being blessed through not only getting money, but you're, you know, saving money. So that could be all in that prophetic, being blessed on those types of terms.
Wow. We've got Michael Goger on. Michael, are you there?
Hey.
Hey, woo woo!
Yoo-hoo. Very interesting conversation. I come in at the right time.
Yeah, we've been trying to call you since the beginning of the hour. But and now you're a busy man, matey.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. Well, give us your words of wisdom and what you have any interesting dreams or any dreams that you have analyzed yourself on your own self.
Well, you're matey, right, matey?
Yeah,
matey's the woo-woo go girl. Woo woo.
Go girl. One of the go girls. dreams very complex.
Yeah,
they are. Yes,
Daniel was a dream interpreter.
Who?
Correct, and Daniel
well,
in the Bible.
I've tried more myself, but I'm trying to step out and help other people get their dreams. But I do a lot of dream interpretation on myself. Yeah,
he said Daniel in the Bible. Daniel is a dream.
Was a dream interpreter.
Yes, he was. He was a mighty interpreter. That is a great story, yes.
Yeah, awesome story. And then Jesus said in the end, your old men will have dreams and the younger people will have visions and people will talk in tongues. And so dreams could be complicated, right down from eating the wrong thing to being touched by an angel or God himself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Michael, Matey, I don't know if you heard the first part. Matey was trying to give the active listening audience some insight into how to start working with your dreams. Well, let me hear what you would have to offer the people. You know, Matey said get a dream book, you know, journal, and start working with them. To me, I would not read other people's interpretations. I try to interpretate them myself. What would you offer?
Well, the dream journal is the number one tool for any type of research in dreams. And now they're using tape recorders, which is a good idea.
I do that, for sure.
And then you should have a basic understanding of all dream symbols.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to be dealing, whether you want to or not, you're going to be dealing with, well, what's a lizard mean? What's a frog mean?
Like that possum the other day.
Right. And if you have a basic understanding and a reference system, you could start right in right away putting the puzzle together. And then,
Do you feel,
Tassie, sometimes they're very personal, something that you got to figure out on your own.
Right.
That's right.
I was going to ask you guys, do you feel that, like, say if I dream something about a dog one day and a yellow, do you feel that same meaning, because, you know, it's just like with words, with tones and pitches in your words when you speak out, do you feel that is, if I keep repeating that same thing with a dog and yellow, do you feel that is the same meaning each time, or is it a different meaning another time, or... You know, because dogs are loyal. They're also hunters. They're, you know.
Yeah.
What do you feel with that? If you keep dreaming the same, let's say 5 years later, I dream basically the same yellow dog. You know what I'm saying? Do you think that still has the same thing meaning behind it as it did 5 years ago? Or can dreams change in their meaning?
Go, girl. You want to take it, or you want me to? I don't want to step on anybody. Be a mic. Go, girl.
Yeah, go, girl.
That's cute.
Go, girl, too.
Yeah.
Kathy's original go, girl. But my thing is, I would think that that the Lord is trying to tell you something, and if you haven't gotten it, he'll keep on giving you the same dream. So. He's given you that dream, but it's yours to figure out what it means. Because yellow could mean hope, it could be fear, it could be your mind, and then a dog is, it could be like your pet dog, or maybe the Lord's going to give you and you're going to end up getting a yellow dog, a yellow lab or something.
Yeah, it could be, or it could have been if it's, especially if it's in sequence and it has a story to it, I would definitely journal it and keep an eye on where it's headed.
I got a good idea. Michael, give Mady one of your dreams and let her interpret it.
One of my dreams?
Yeah, let's see how Mady interprets your dream and see if it comes out to the same analogy you had. And I'll see what I see out of it, too.
I don't dream. I spend so much time in trance that I don't dream.
Do you ever have visions?
What's
that? Visions are like, do you ever have a vision? Okay, dreams and vision. Dreams are when you sleep. But a vision,
yeah.
I've only had one in my life because I feel like the God has gives me dreams. Like one day, one of my friends went over to Africa, and they were asking people to pray while he's over there. So one day I was sitting and I was praying, you know, for him and his protection, for him and his wife and his daughter. Well, all of a sudden it was like I saw a motion moving camera, and I saw them walking, and I saw a mosquito net over protected them as they were walking. And I mean, it was quick and fast, and I was like, oh, that's what a vision is. I've never had one in my life. I was so excited, but I haven't had one since either. But I was in a deep prayer for protection over these, over my friends. And so my interpretation of that dream was, I mean, God is so awesome, because the mosquito net, they use those in Africa a lot. But the mosquito net was a shield of protecting of any, like a mosquito comes in to harm and hurt you and make you itch, or whether it's from keeping the bugs that give malaria. So it was like that was their covering, their protection, and I was praying, and it was like the Lord was showing me he was protecting them as they moved through Africa. I was like, wow! So vision is sometimes, it's like a move and an action when you're awake during the day. And it can be just something like really quick.
Wow.
But like I said,
I know. Well, if you're going to include visions, one was always the Lord using my voice. And
that's a good one, Michael.
In many different ways. And, I wound up in chat and radio, so there's some kind of a connection there.
Yeah, that's very, very good.
You know,
since
I was a kid.
Do you ever believe that dreams, because I know a lot of people say they don't dream in color.
My mother was a vivid color dreamer. And she was a medium. Now, I'll tell you why she dreamed, because she never used her medium abilities. She shunned them. So she was a vivid dreamer in color. And she would remember every dream and everything. And it was because she wasn't using her abilities while she was in an awakened state like me. I'm in a dream world so much that when I go down, I go down. But science will say you're dreaming anyway, you're just not remembering it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Why is it that we don't remember a lot of our dreams?
What?
Go ahead, Mady.
I was going to say, Guy's not a big dreamer. And, you know, I wake up and I go, wow, I had him this dream. I woke up one day and I dreamed that we were, you know, going to be moving to the East Coast. And I'm like, yay, because I was in Iowa and I was so excited about going back to the East Coast. And I dreamt that we were being transferred over to Richmond. And I was like, yay, you know. And then I had all these other dreams. Then I dreamed I was moving to North Carolina. I'm like, wait a minute, we're not going to North Carolina, because we had already gotten over to Virginia. And God bless my dream. And I'm like, why am I dreaming about North Carolina? And I was like, I dreamt one day that I was moving to Moravian Falls, North Carolina. And I'm like, I don't even know if that place exists. I'm like, I get out my atlas. I'm like, and here I grew up in North Carolina. But, you know, there's so many different small towns and everything. You can't know every single city. And so I go to my atlas and I'm going, oh, my stars, Moravian Falls is a real city. I was like, okay, what is that all about? Then a couple months later, I found out that there is an open heaven up there, because where the Moravians prayed, and where they lived, and there's a bunch of ministries up there, and a lot of them are on the dreams, and they have dream encounter weekends up there. And I was like, wow, God, you're so awesome. So I'm thinking, now, is that also meaning that, you know, I should go up there for a conference and get more and learn for our dreams? Well, I think that's probably what it's saying. But it's just different things like that. You know, it can just be a short, really quick dream, and it can mean something very, very profound.
Tell the listening audience and Michael about the blessed. When you were going to go to the Virgin Isles, and how the and the name of the place, and
when you were being transferred. I had stopped. You know, I told you earlier in the program that I had stopped writing my dreams for a while. Well, we moved to St. Croix, which was one of the places I had wanted to live. And I'm thinking, oh, it's never going to happen. My brother lived down there, and I went to visit. And I thought, oh, I'll go back and maybe teach down there. Well, that never happened. And then all of a sudden, my husband gets a job, and so we moved down there. And I'm like, yay! Wow, I can't believe
but I mean,
20 years ago I had really
the
wanted to meet
the name of the. Matey, the name of the neighborhood and how your mother gave you certain books with the same name and, you know, how it all folded together.
So we went on our interview trip. So I woke up this one morning on this interview trip, and I'm thinking, God, I don't know if I really want to live on this island. Is this where we're supposed to be? I'm thinking, you know, you're stuck on this island. But so we go around, and the lady takes us, and she says, well, there's three neighborhoods that you can live in. The company has houses that you get to live in. And she said, as we're driving over to see the house that we were going to live in, she said, and the subdivision that you're going to live in is called The Blessing. And I went, wow. Because earlier that morning on the hilltop, I said, Lord, I know if we're supposed to move here, you know, I said, show me the blessing on being here, because I feel like when the Lord has anything for you, it's going to be a blessing for you. I'm like, show me the blessing of living here. And then on the way driving, she goes, the name of the subdivision is called The Blessing, and it just hit me. I was like, wow, that was all on the same day. I'm thinking, God, I've never had you answer me so quick. And I'm just like, okay, I know this is where we're supposed to be. And then in the meantime, I get home, and my mother had sent me a book a couple of months before that, before we went on this trip and before I knew I was moving there. And she had found this book in a used bookstore, and it was called Maida's Island. I was like, wow, my name's Maida, and it's really close to Maida. And I was like, oh, my stars, that's another godsend that he's showing me. That's where I'm supposed to be. And then my sister had sent me a little thank you note card because she had come to visit me. And on it, it said something, I think it said Blessed Islands on it. I was like, oh, okay, I know that is where we're supposed to live. So not only God shows you in dreams, but he shows you, like, in real-life situations. You know, yes. He gives you hints and things to show how amazing he can be.
And he uses everything and anything and everyone.
Yes.
Michael, music touches you, right?
What, baby?
Music. I said music touches you, right? I mean, music speaks to you and also in your dreams and in your daily life.
Yeah. I'm very connected.
So the symbols in music, you know, like the words in music and stuff, too. So we can find it in any different ways and means. Because I believe that we are awake in a dream. You know, everything... Michael, you taught me this a long time ago, back a couple of years ago on BBS, about how symbols are so important. Everything's a symbol.
Everything is a symbol and an image outside, even on the physical plane, but it's filtered down. But once you leave the physical plane, everything turns into energy, symbols, and imagery.
Mm-hmm.
There is no talking, you know, there's no sex, there's no... It's all imagery, experience, and your thoughts become your words. You can do
whatsoever a man thinks in his heart.
And be with anybody that you can think of. You think of it as you're there already.
Wow.
From what I gathered in my journeys, my spiritual journeys, I know there's a lot of people from different faiths, and they may not agree, but, you know, those are my experiences, you know. And the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yes,
you know,
he does.
Joan of Arc.
How many more days?
The list is endless.
Mm-hmm.
Joan of Arc. My Uncle Ronnie made some music to Joan of Arc, and it just blows my mind. I'm just now learning more and more about Joan of Arc. And that's profound that you even brought that up. Cause
that's right. You know, a bum laying in the road and everybody's stepping over it might be an angel.
Yeah.
And he's testing. And by the end of the day, he tested like 300 Wall Street corporate CEOs. Every one of them stepped over him.
That's why you have to reach out and help.
You got to be very. I believe the Creator is interacting with us and the Earth constantly.
Mady told me about, gosh, when we were in the 10th grade, she says, always, even the person that says, have a nice day, is giving you a message. You know,
absolutely.
Whether they mean it with their, you know, or just spitting it out. But everybody and everything in every way, shape, and form has a message if we want to apply it to ourselves.
I had a client.
What do you feel on that?
Paralyzed from the neck down, and he said to me, what can I do? He goes, what good am I? I should be dead. And I told him, I said, you could still speak and smile and teach. And he never thought of it, never even thought of it.
Wow.
He said, you know what? You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's good.
So everybody, no matter what situation they're in, is a tool and an implement of the Creator. And you're supposed to glorify Him with every inch of your being.
Wow. That is a profound way to end the show. Because we're at the top of the hour, Michael and Mady. And I am just so blessed to have you two on the air tonight. Bridging wisdom about dreams and... Today's date is, what, the 24th? How many more days? Okay, it's Thursday the 24th.
I would like to say, Cassie, can I make one plug?
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
On my show tomorrow, Soul Nourishment on Blog Talk, 7 p.m., I'm going to make some announcements. And whoever knows me and follows me, you may want to tune in and listen or at least catch the archive.
Sounds great. Your shows are always so wonderful, Michael. And Mady, you got any last words of wisdom?
In all things, give thanks to the Lord because He's in control and He will bring everything that the enemy meant for bad into the good, into the light. And He has a reason for everything. And just continue on your dreams and just be blessed.
And with Michael Goger being 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Soul Nourishment, everybody listen up and tune in at Blog Talk Radio. I want to give thanks out to BBS Radio, Don, Doug, and Seth. Thank you so much for the opportunity for us to be able to bring some wisdom tonight. And Michael, thank you so much for calling in. We tried to get you earlier. Hopefully next time we'll get you right at the top of the hour. Mady, it's always a blessing to hear from you. And this is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, with Michael Goger, Mady Hewlett, Lowry, and BBS Radio. We're off the air. Bye-bye, everybody. Big loves.